Devon Funds Management, Greg, morning.
Morning to you, Mike.
Coca-Cola. Well, I read that report. That seemed flat. Is that
fair? That's right. So demand's sluggish, but prices up. That was the story. So revenues, $11.95 billion for the quarter. That's about the same as last year. Earnings dipped to $2.85 billion. Volume's down 1%. But they've actually been doing better than Pepsi. They've had product recalls, so they've been picking up market share there. But yeah, pricing, that was up 10% over the quarter. Interesting, half of that comes from intense inflation places like Argentina, but a lot of it's just general price hikes and customers trading up, so that was quite interesting. They're upbeat about the outlook, growth 10%, expected earnings to pick up 5-6%. They're also reassured about this E. coli outbreak at McDonald's, and that's actually their biggest restaurant customer. So yeah, Quarter Pounders might be on hold for a while. There's contaminated onions by the sounds of it. Starbucks, they also had some softness at the top line. Sales down 3%, $9.1 billion. Same store sales down 7%. Now, that's the biggest drop since COVID. Foot traffic down 10%. They've got a new CEO, Mike. He reckons all the problems are fixable. They're investing in technology to improve service, reduce wait times. But I suppose a lot of it's cost of living challenges and, yeah, just people shunning high-priced lattes and macchiatos. Increasing competition might also be a factor, particularly in China. Sales there down 14%, same store. Hey, and you mentioned Bowen. Yeah, continuing to having some problems as well. Revenues of $17.8 billion, they top estimates, but they report a loss of $6 billion. So $4 billion worth of problems at the commercial airlines unit. So you think the 777 they've had problems with. And then the unit which houses the Starliner, that recently returned from space empty, that contributed to a $2 billion loss at the defence unit as well. So management, they talked up about a leaner future, focus on costs. Pretty ironic, striking machine is so about to be given a 30% plus pay rise to resolve industrial action, so shares fell 2%.
Now, Tokyo Metro, how oversubscribed was that?
Around about 15 times oversubscribed. So, yeah, the shares went more like a bullet train, actually. They surged 45% on their debut. So this is Japan's largest IPO in 6 years since SoftBank. So, yeah, Subway Opera, they carry around about 6.5 million passengers a day. They raised around about $2.3 billion equivalent. Shares are priced at the top of the IPO range. Lots of demand, just viewed as a bit of a cash cow, high dividends, stable cash flow, not much risk there, and also a reasonable outlook for growth. So just really the demand and the capital strong. If you look at their population in Tokyo, it's growing at around about 1% annually. So, yeah, great story there overnight.
What about our AGMs? Freightways, they were interesting.
It was a busy day. Freightways was particularly interesting. And, you know, a lot of the companies sort of were updating, you know, operate on both sides of the Tasman, some differing stories. So you look at Freightways, they've been doing quite well despite a soft economy, particularly in Australia where they've got a big footprint. Look, in New Zealand, they are New Zealand Couriers, which competes directly with NZ Post. That's doing better. The government said NZ Post has to be more competitive and act like a real company, so that's been good. They're not seeing any green shoots yet in the economy, Freightways, but they are doing well on the back of higher prices, market share gains. Revenues up 7.2% in the first quarter, $309.6 million. Earnings up 11%. Seems a bit of a recurring theme here, Mike, but Australia, where it gets 35% of its revenues, continues to do better than New Zealand. And then we have a look at Fletcher Building. Obviously, that's had its fair share of troubles this year. You think the cyclical downturn, the pipe issue in Australia, they said first quarter market volumes down 10 to 15%. They see that continuing. September was down 12%. A bit brighter on the house sales front. They were averaging 17 per week in the quarter versus 23 a year ago, but September saw an improvement. They see things, yeah, deteriorating, but they do see things picking up in the second half, in part due to cost savings around about $180 million, so those shares slipped. EBOS, healthcare and animal care name, they reiterated earnings guidance. That was positive. They quarterly earnings in September were 7.5% higher, actually, when adjusting for the Chemist Warehouse contract they lost last year, and they're continuing to target strategic acquisitions. And another company on both sides of the Tasman, Michael Hill, 4.3% increase in total sales for the first 14 weeks. But again, very interesting here. Australia and Canada both up around 6%. In contrast, sales in New Zealand were down almost 5%.
Okay, numbers.
Dow down 0.9%, as was the S&P. NASDAQ down 1.4% at the moment. FTSE 100 down 0.6%, Nikkei down 0.8%, ASX 200 up 0.1%. We were down 0.2% for the NZX 50. Gold stepped back from record highs, down $27, $2,721 an ounce. Oil down $1.20, 70 spot 55 for WTI. And the currencies were down 0.7% against the US, with 60 even, up 0.1% against the A dollar, 90.5, down 0.3% against sterling. And we've got Adrian Orse speaking in Washington at the moment. So, yeah, we'll see what he talks about the prospect of 75 bips next month.
All right, mate. Go well. Greg Smith, Devon Funds Management.